My beloved people, first of all, this morning, it gives me, of course, the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure to be here with you and to welcome all of you, especially those who have come from great distances. You honor me, not just me, you honor us. May God bless you, keep you, and protect you. After Mass this morning, there will be a reception downstairs. I would like for you to wait just a few minutes. Wait till you hear the tower bell. That gives us all time to put everything out and in place. And as soon as you hear the tower bell, all of you know how to get downstairs. Now, this morning, it is most gratifying that you are here to honor us, to honor me. And I thank you. But next Sunday is the big day, not today. Next Sunday, we give honor and glory to the body of Christ. And to the extent that it is possible, even at serious inconvenience to yourselves, I beg you to be here. To be here, to give honor and glory to our blessed Lord and Savior in the Holy Eucharist. Nothing must come before that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How does one talk about himself after 50 years in the priesthood? But that is the chore that I have been assigned for this day. And I hope that I will say all of the right things. 50 years ago seems an awfully long time, doesn't it? It did to me. It was an unbelievably long time. But as I look back today, it was hardly more than a bolt of lightning in speed. It went by me just that quickly. I remember well, it was beyond 50 years actually, when my parents brought me as a young boy to the monastery for the first time, to leave me there to become a member of a monastery. And I remember it well. We were outside. We were walking around. It was in the afternoon. It was vesper time. And all the bells began to ring. I had never heard bells before. And when I heard those bells, my soul leaped within me. And those bells called me. And they called me into the city of God. They called me into a fortress. A mighty fortress, to be sure. Everything about that fortress was magnificent. It was quiet. It was secure. It was stable. It was unbelievably beautiful. And as I walked around in this fortress, in this city of God, and as I walked upon its walls, beautiful walls, golden. I could look about and I could see the beautiful pastures and I could see the lilies of the field in full bloom, and they were beautiful. And the air was filled with the aroma of the lilies of the field. And I heard the birds, the beautiful birds, and all was magnificent. I was so busy, and all of those too, not just me, but all those like me in the same way, perhaps. All of those of us, but I speak only of myself this morning, and what applies to me applies to countless others. I speak of myself alone. I was so busy looking and listening and turning only in the direction of that which was so beautiful, so golden. The walls were made of nothing but precious gold. The breeze was blowing. Everything was wonderful. And I was so busy and so taken with all of this beauty that I did not turn to look to see that in the distant horizon, black clouds were beginning to form. And besides that, had I noticed these black clouds, I would have probably not paid much attention to them, because I was in this fortress and nothing could hurt me. Then all of a sudden, it was totally unexpected. All of a sudden, there was a rumble. A rumble. It got louder and louder. And all of this magnificent fortress came crumbling and crumbling. And all of the beautiful walls made of gold that I used to touch and love because they were my protection, the very stones of those walls became my enemy. And they were crashing all around me. And I was dodging these stones for fear of getting hit and crushed by them. I looked about me and I couldn't understand the gentle breeze that was once so lovely, that brought all of the lovely aromas of a gentle breeze. Now was a wind that was blowing over the rubble. It was hot and it was parched. It was ugly, ugly. And I looked about the fields that were once so beautiful, and they were all burned. There was nothing left. And the stink of scorch was every place. I looked for the little birds, but they too were gone. Everything was gone. And I didn't know what to do. But one thing I did do, I continued to believe. And as I believed, and as I continued to believe, I could see miracle after miracle after miracle. Never-ending miracles were taking place, which I probably would not have noticed had I still been so busy being in love with the beautiful golden city. You will notice it in the cards that are being passed around today, the little anniversary cards. We carefully chose that particular picture with Christ weeping over Jerusalem. And that's where we were. And that's where we are. And there was miracle after miracle, and you see all these miracles about you. And we must thank God for these miracles. But there was one miracle, the greatest miracle of all, the most wonderful miracle of all, and that is these men. They are the miracle. And people tell me, or rather ask me, because now that I am 50 years a priest, I'm old. Of course I'm old. Who can doubt that? But I'm going to tell you one thing. There's still a lot of priest in me, and it has to still be used. And I will use it if God gives me strength. And when people ask me with honest concern, what's going to happen to the place after you die? That's the first concern. Yes, I'm going to die. I don't know when. There's your answer. Right there. There is your answer. That's what's going to happen when I die. And don't you ever forget that. And you will have to reckon with some troops. They're wonderful men, and I love them. They don't belong to me. I belong to them. There have been moments, oh my, yes, there have been moments when a club would have been very handy had one been within reach. But they stayed here, and they are here, and they are men of God. Every one of them. And I feel sorry for the poor man who dares tackle any one of them. I mean that. I know these men. They can be dangerous to me, but they're good men. And they're men of the altar. And they're men of God, and they're men of prayer. Fifty years ago, I was put before a mountain, a very steep mountain, a very dangerous mountain, and I was told that I had to climb it, and it was indeed, it is indeed an unbelievably steep mountain. But the mountain that these men have to climb, that they have been put in front of, makes my mountain look like a hill. When I heard those bells 50 years ago, they called me into the beautiful city of God when all was absolutely wonderful. And when my abbot received me, he received me into the city of God. and I was safe, and I was happy. But I am their abbot, and the best I can offer them when I lead them in are the catacombs. The faith that I had that was required of me was nothing compared to the faith that these men must exercise. And the mountain, they will climb it. I have no fear, and neither must you have fear. You must trust as I trust. I'm not looking at a place. I'm not looking at a building. I'm looking at a belief, a profound belief. We here are attached to a belief, a profound belief, not to the performance of a ceremony. There are those who are so completely enamored of a ceremony that they overlook the belief. We have a very strong belief, and we are ready to die for that belief. We have suffered much. We continue to suffer much. And the problem is that we have been told that we must believe that 2 + 2 equals anything you want it to be to equal. And we say, that's not true. And because we say that that is not true, we're called rebels. We're not rebels. We have no intention of being rebels. We hate no one. But when anybody tells me or us that I must believe that 2 + 2 equals anything, then I am disobedient when I do not accept that. And I will never accept that. We will never accept that. And for those who have accepted that 2 + 2 equals anything, in the equation that follows, regardless of how carefully, step by step by step, the equation is observed. If you start off with anything goes with 2 by 2, it is inevitable. It is absolutely inevitable that the answer will always be wrong. Look at your streets. Look at what your children are doing to your children. Look at family. Look at marriage. Look at religion. Look at anything you want to. 2 + 2 equals anything. And I can see anything happening. We are not against the establishment. We do not hate the establishment. We simply say we insist on believing, continuing to believe that 2 + 2 = 4 all the time. And there is never an exception to that. We realize, I certainly realize, that there are those to the right of us, and there are those to the left of us. extremists, silly people actually, and they ask silly questions, questions that do not even deserve an answer. And besides that, they're not looking for an answer. They're looking for a compatriot, one to agree with whatever it is they maintain to be true. And from whatever side we move or look, there is truth to look to in the center. We do not pretend to prove anything. It is not our place, purpose, or intention to prove anything. And we want, I want everybody here to understand that clearly. If there is a problem, then we must pray. And we must pray more. The only cause that we look to is that which I've pointed so many times to, is in that tabernacle. And any that these causes that we have today that are itching us, you know, people of little faith have to have something to attach themselves to that they can possibly believe in. Any cause that is not directly associated with that is wrong and is poor religion. That will save my soul. Whether there is a church or not has nothing to do with the salvation of my soul. Whether there is a pope or not has absolutely nothing to do with my salvation. And I could go on and on and on. And I do know that people will follow these trails through the woods looking for places that agree with their own, I should say, distorted way of thinking. And they're looking for compatriots. They never look upon the altar because that is beyond them. And the local presence of Jesus Christ in his body and blood is not nearly so important as following something that causes them to be satisfied that they are doing something of importance. My beloved people, this morning as I look back 50 years, I've seen people come and go. I've seen people believe in a multitude of things intellectually. And every breeze that comes along, their mind is changed. Their mind is changed. Their mind is changed. You have heard me speak over and over and over again. And I deplore this fact. We consider ourselves to be traditional Roman Catholics, and that's wonderful because that's what we are. But we must try to keep in mind what our real concern must be. And that is Jesus Christ, nobody else, and nothing else. Next Sunday, we're going to do honor. I want you here. I want everybody here. I want you to bring somebody with you. I want this church packed as much as it can be because the Most Holy Eucharist has been profaned, has been blasphemed, has been sacrileged, not just by the people, but by the priests themselves. That is a horror that is beyond horror. And do we then expect that our offspring are going to be believers? No. And do we expect that by some kind of a tight fist of ours that we are going to mold our children into believing the way we want them to believe, that they're going to go out as stormtroopers? My dear people, please forget that. I can give you an example, just one, that I could give you more of. Well, the rosary in a family circle, wherever, and this actually happened, where the rosary was used as a whip, and the members of the family were systematically beaten by the rosary over and over and over again, day after day after day after day after day. The rosary was a whip. Today, as those children grew up, they hate the Holy Rosary. And can you blame them? Can you blame them? And they will carry this hatred with them to their graves. And the ones who were responsible for this will have to answer to God, and answer they will. And if we use, in some cases, we use the Blessed Sacrament as a whip, and we try to force our children into conformity, we make our children when they get free, they will hate that too. And when we see the members of our own families, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our friends, our relatives, we try to make them believe by our words. There again, here we are. Little me, little Mr. and Mrs. Importance, is trying to cram something down somebody's throat. It doesn't work. And as a consequence, my beloved people, this is strictly in my own heart and in my own mind. You know better than I, the hatred that today exists within family circles because of this very thing I'm talking about. We do not know what the future has in mind, what God has in mind for the future. But all I ask is that you pray that God will give you wisdom, that we will all have wisdom to put up with whatever is in store for us. I do not hear, and I have never ever preached hatred of anyone. I've never hear, and you have never heard, preach rebellion against anyone, have you? You've only heard love. And that is all. And that is all that we're interested in. And if any of you are so inclined, which is all right, my beloved ones, you are as welcome as anybody. If any of you is so inclined to make a report of proceedings today, God bless you. And save yourself the trouble, come to me because it's all on tape. Every word I have said is on this tape. And if you want copies of it, it might take you a while to get them, but you can have them free of charge. And you can give these tapes to anybody you see fit. Any member of the clergy, any member of friend or anybody, these tapes would be available. I know what we have said. I know what we believe. I know how we feel. Do this, and you are welcome to it. We have work to do, you and us, and we better be about doing it. How long it will be, I have no idea. I am not here telling you the end of the world is going to come tomorrow or the next day or 3 o'clock on January the 3rd. I have no earthly notion. I do know that things are bad, and how much worse they're going to become, I don't know. And when I see people, when I see priests, when I see men, when I see superiors in our church, older ones, who studied out of the same identical book that I studied out of, and who had the same identical teachers that I had, and when those teachers told us 2 and 2 equals 4 all the time, and I see these men now get up and say, no, it doesn't. It means anything. We're disobedient. We will continue to be disobedient, not to the people who are insisting that we believe that, but we are disobedient to the untruth that is being provided. We must remain obedient only to truth itself. If you want peace, if you want joy, if you want sincerity, a genuineness of heart, happiness of heart, this is where it is. And this is all we preach here. We do not tell you this person is wrong, that person is right, you must do this, you must not do that, you must hate him, you must love him, you must this, that, the other. All we tell you here is, or try to at least, how to love God. And if you can't handle that, it isn't my fault. I love you. Indeed, I love you. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for these men. Not because they have to put up with me. But you want to know something? And this is no boast. It is a sadness which they will tell you over and over again. Only those of us who were there 50 years ago can tell you what it was like. That the church will return to what it was 50 years ago or 60 years ago or 70 or 40 or 30 years ago, that is idle dreaming. And this business of restoring all things in Christ, I'm sorry, is idle. It will never, ever be again like it once was. Now we might say, Well, it's because the people of the new order in the church will not submit to that which is right. That's possibly true. But I also submit this. If tomorrow morning the finest man on earth, the holiest man on earth, the most perfect man on earth, a combination of Pope Pius the 12th, 11th, 10th, 5th, 6th, whatever, I don't care how many, put them all together into one and present him to the traditional Roman Catholic people, how many do you think will come and submit to him? We are too busy establishing our own little empires, our own little popehoods. Once upon a time, we used to tease, there is a bishop in every garage. They're still trying to make a bishop out of me, and I'm still resisting. We used to tease that there was a bishop in every garage. My dear people, that is gone down the stream. Now we can say there's a pope in every garage. And the city and the sin and the absolutely horrible part of it all is that there are people, intelligent people, people who have read, or at least I think they've read, who believe it. And this is a distortion. And our children, being smarter than we are, can see through all of this foolishness. Keep it simple. There's only one thing. Love God. Love the Eucharist. This is what you must protect with all of your might. All other things are unimportant. All things. Be happy. I sound like I'm growling this morning, but lately that's all I ever do anyway. I'm really not growling. I'm trying to present what we are, what we believe, and we will simply not let anybody come to us and make us believe otherwise. That's that. So help me God. So help God us here. That's the way it's going to be. And I say the same, ask the same from you and of you. No foolishness. We don't have time to continue foolish thinking. And unless we are ourselves well-read, a lot of people have a lot of things to say, but they haven't read a book. They haven't cracked a page, but they talk so much. All they go on is hearsay. Somebody said this, somebody said that, therefore you're this, therefore you're that. And they're talking about things that are way, way, way over their heads. My beloved people, God bless you. People are beginning to look at their watches, and I'm sure that the ones back here are looking at their watches. But I had to say these things. I'm sorry if it took extra time. But this is a matter of record here. And like I say, I have no problem with you bringing this message to anybody. Because we are not in opposition to anybody. We're only in opposition to untruth. And that is that. God bless you. Now, if you will all please kneel. Please let me give you my blessing.